Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She is a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you on this cold June day?
Hello, Cindy. Oh, I know. It's so freezing out, right? I thought we had a chance for getting a nice day earlier today, and then all of a sudden I walked outside and I needed a sweater.
Right, and it's funny because, you know, it's not, in the winter, you know, to dress warm, you know, so, you know, it doesn't even feel cold. You know, today you're just like, oh, just walking around in your summer clothes and going, oh, it's cold.
I have not even packed up my winter clothes yet because I've still needed some of them.
Yeah, I know, of course, and I would advise you to hold on to them for a little longer.
Clearly.
Not that we want to hold on to them. So everyone's asking me, how's your new promotion? You need a little bit more raise. How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Okay, good. And you're not working that second job now?
I'm not working the second job anymore, and I actually have weekends off now where I get to dedicate my time to, you know, more fun things versus, you know, versus constantly working all the time. So it's nice.
Good. And see that? I'm really glad to hear that because I can hear it in your voice. Between your grandmother going and your job going, and it seems like, wow, you're much more relaxed. And so remember.
Well, now the third piece of that equation is getting my mom going. Not so much going, but just getting her out of just the muck that is left over. You know, I mean, it's bad enough that she had to deal with my grandmother's situation in life, but now, you know, she's in a position where she's settling out everything. And, of course, even though my grandmother made her a power of attorney and made me the backup power of attorney, there was still things that she never settled out or she forgot about or what have you. So it's like, you know, my mother's still fighting with people every day like, dude, you know, she's dead. You know, what the hell would you like me to do?
Wow.
You know, like, so it's a pain in the ass on her, you know, and I feel bad because since she was, the power of attorney dies, I guess, with my grandmother, but because she was the power of attorney, like a lot of this is falling in her lap and there's very little that I can do, you know, to kind of help out there. So I'm doing what I can, but we just got to get her to a place too now where she can just release my grandmother and just start her life again.
Right. And that'll happen. You know, she needs to just, you know, adjust for a little bit. It's a lot. You know, she had this woman sort of consuming her life and now, you know, all of a sudden she's got this sort of hole in her life, even though it's better. So, you know, I just think that she'll get better at this point. So, you know, just give her a little time. She needs to also get through some of the anger she may feel. Because there's definitely, I'm sure she feels some anger, you know, residual anger.
Well, there's definitely some anger there, but, you know, she's working through it. She's doing all right.
Well, good. Now, I see we have a lot of listeners, and they signed in really nice and early today, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to check my, you know, cell phone messages today. But I just want to, I was wondering if one of the people that sometimes is a regular, I thought she had maybe emailed me she wanted to talk today, but I don't see it. So I think you should go down to the 516-381 number, though. That is one of our regulars. So that's one of our clients that's going through a kind of a prolonged divorce. And if you remember, her brother-in-law got killed in the car crash. And
yes, I do remember. I do remember. All right, well, you know what, then we will start out there since I never screened the first call anyway. So we will go over there, and what I will do is I will start screening, Cindy, and when you guys are done, you will have a very, very lovely, you know, a very lovely call to take. How's that?
Okay, good. Very good.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, and hi, Cindy. How are you?
And who is this?
This is Jimena.
That's what I thought. And I was like, we haven't heard from you for a while. So I said, I see she's on the line. And it's funny because I wasn't sure if you had emailed me. That's what I was just looking quickly.
Yes, I actually just did. I actually just emailed you because things have been so chaotic. And I briefly sent you in the email that just 2 weeks ago, Memorial Day weekend, I got into an incident with you-know-who, and he crashed into my vehicle.
Your husband crashed into your vehicle?
Yes, head on.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, the police were completely unhelpful, which is a disaster. He should have been completely taken away. That didn't happen. It was the opposite. It was blaming me. It was just a nightmare. So I pretty much removed myself from the situation. We had an attorney's meeting this Tuesday, and I was pretty much giving him a deal, which I thought was a deal of a lifetime. He didn't like it. So he wants to keep dragging it on, but his attorney said, listen, you know, I think going to trial would be a waste of both of you guys' money because there aren't major issues here in place to settle it, you know. And his attorney actually liked the deal that I was giving him. He was getting everything, pretty much. I'm walking away with nothing. And he's been having tantrums since this Tuesday. And I don't know what he wants. I mean, he just wants to fix everything, the marriage, the relationship.
Again, he's
kids.
Still with that after he cracks up your car. The amount of money this guy has done, all the damage he has done. It's crazy. I mean, you know, he's truly a person with toxic love who believes I can do whatever I want. I could throw acid on you. I could do whatever you want. And you're supposed to take me back, which is the old you made your bed, lie in it. But this man's taken that to, like, extremes here.
Right, right. And I already told my attorney, listen, his time with kids, I'm out of the house. My weekends are not with kids, I'm out of the house. I mean, I made it very clear. She made it clear to his attorney, you know, her life here, so to speak. This is getting out of control now. He should, you know, and they're fine with it at this point, but we don't have trial until July. And they don't want to take it to there because it's going to be too much time spent for nothing. You know, there isn't anything out there to fight for. It's just custody. And the custody, I'm pretty much giving it to him. And he doesn't want it. He just wants to keep on writing this. And apparently the judge that we have, he's going to settle this in July. And I don't have the funds to keep dragging this on. I mean, what do you see? I mean, I don't know what he's waiting for. I don't know what he wants.
He's
at this
just
point.
Waiting. And he's not going to give up until those papers are signed. And after that, he may not give up either fighting you. But it looks like in July, you know, this has to be resolved. I hope that you won't lose any sleep over it because he does this all the time. I mean, he's like the boy that cries wolf. After a while, you got to stop listening. The guy is like, you know, a drama king over here.
Like,
the best
we
thing
had
that
a counseling session with my kids, and almost a counselor wanted to attend the session for my kids because she's having us do parent classes, and he wouldn't agree. If he doesn't agree and I'm the only one agreeing, then my kid doesn't get counseling. And it got to the point, she's like, listen, if you're not agreeing, meaning your husband, I can't have him counsel your son if only you do it and he doesn't, because then whatever I'm working on him, it's just not going to be effective for your son. And he almost, like, had us not have our son with counseling. But she was going to discontinue counseling altogether. I'm like, please, he needs his counseling. You know, my 10-year-old that's having all this trouble. And he's like, well, no, the condition that I need to have is for her to go to counseling with me. So, well, that's not my condition, the counselor said. I need you to do parenting classes individually. You don't have to. Your wife doesn't have to go with you anywhere. You know?
Right. Could
and
you imagine? He
like,
still doesn't get it that after this is like 2 years now this has been going on?
2 years. Yeah, 2 years.
In 2 years, he doesn't get it that this has to be ended only because, you know, you went back and forth. The courts have made you go back and forth.
Right.
But
I understand. It's my fault. I get it. But now I'm making it so clear. Like, it's done. It's over with. And he's still, he's dragging the kids into this. My boys are completely destroyed with all of this. But the only one that is hanging on by a thread is my daughter, where she both loves mommy and daddy equally. But my boys, I mean, I'm trying to reach to them. And it, I know it's hard on them. But he keeps pulling them as a sword against me. And, you know, the clock is ticking. It's only a month away. But I'm trying not to go to trial because, again, my attorney wants all this crazy money. I don't have. I still don't have a job. That job that I was going to get, I didn't come through. And I'm just
and
like,
again,
I
God
can't
is, like, not giving you money to have any more attorney's fight with him. At this point, it's just, this is it. It's got to be resolved. And you won't get abundance until after the papers are signed, because if you got a $1 million job tomorrow, he'd be dragging this out because he wants your money. He doesn't want you to go in because he would want to get a huge maintenance from you.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, this has got to be sped up. As soon as this happens in July, it looks like you will be getting a better job. Your cards are actually much better in the next few months after this is kind of resolved. You're going to have to keep your calm here. He's having his last, like, you know, his last hurrah, trying to, like, have his last hissy fit and see if it does anything.
Right.
But I mean, I think, you know, his brother, the one that, you know, sort of was drunk, and did they ever get the toxicology reports on him?
No, they never did. And if they did, he would never share that with me. I mean, they know that he was drunk because he put all these things on Facebook that he was under the influence before doing so, before getting into the vehicle. So it's very clear and transparent that he was, but he will never admit it to me because it would be, he knows that I would be all over it, like, I told you so, and he doesn't want me to tell him I told you so. You know,
okay, well, just know that
him.
His brother is kind of saying that he will help with this, and he's under obligation because he wasn't certainly helping when he was alive to get this to be remedied rather quickly. I'm actually seeing that July looks pretty good for you with the settlement of this at this point. But
so are we going to go to trial, or is he going to settle before going to trial? See, that's what my fear is.
No, he wants to go to trial. He wants to go to trial. And what they're, because he wants to stall it, but the judge is probably going to read him the Riot Act, that he could be he'll be liable for these fees, and then he may back off. So just, you know, this guy is trying to battle to the end, but if it's going to cost him that much more money and the judge is making it pretty plain and clear, that's the only hope here. So I need you to relax because he can't really do anything else to hurt you. I mean, he dented your car. He's such an idiot doing stuff like that. I mean, crazy stuff. But, you know, he seems he's not going to give up. You know, this man doesn't give up.
No.
But just know that I can see things going your way in July. So.
And a job, and a very good job.
So you just need to try to stay calm, even with your kids. I know it's hard. You do sound a little better than you have sounded. Like, you almost feel like, oh God, this again. It's like not surprising you, not shocking you.
I
hear it in your voice. Like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's like a rerun.
Yeah, it's like I knew he was going to snap somehow, some way. I just didn't know how. I mean, is he going to do all these things to hurt me at this point, or this is it? Like, in other words, physically. That's my fear. Like, is he going to try to do something to my children?
No.
Or is he not going to...
So he's afraid of jail. The man is, you know, he had a little taste of jail. He's terrified of jail. What he's going to do is his bully stuff that always toes the line. That's all he's going to do, his little bully stuff, like a kindergarten of bullying people. That's why I said... You know, I don't see him harming you or the children. I see him just being his usual nuisance that he is. So if you stay calm, the best thing you can do, because you know when you call the police in your area, they don't seem to help you. So
not at all. It's the opposite. Completely like voice club. I get no help whatsoever. Nothing.
Right.
At all.
So that's why I would advise you not to provoke him in any way. Try to keep the peace a little bit, maybe, and give him the illusion. Like, if you stay peaceful, he's going to have some illusion that, okay, maybe it'll get better. But just give him that illusion until you go to court, and then he's going to know what's really up. But don't aggravate him. But it looks much better in July. Your cards actually look really pretty good coming in, that, like, once that's settled in July, August, and then a very good job for you and a nice soulmate in the future. So.
Okay, and do you see who stays with the children? Can you tell? I mean, because I was willing just for him to take everything, including that aspect, because I'm like, you know what, I'll just walk away from everything.
That's what I told you in the beginning. You had to tell him he could have anything he wants because he doesn't want those children. So what's going to happen is you're telling him he could have the children and there's no fight here? I'm not so sure. He doesn't want full custody.
Yeah, he's free. He's like, he didn't know what to say. He said, absolutely not. He just doesn't want it.
That's what I told you. So you're going to go in saying, look, I want this divorce. So whatever he wants, I'm willing to do. He wants full custody of the kids. He can have them. And he doesn't want it. So just know that you called him on it, and I told you that last year. He's only doing that because he thinks this will hurt you. So now that he realizes that doesn't have any weight over you, he's not going to want those kids full time.
Right.
So just that's why I'm saying the wind is out of his sails now.
Right. So
the
right
last
now he's
thing
just
were...
freaking out. Like, he doesn't know what to do. Like, he doesn't know how to almost, like, turn me around and get me
he can't
back
now.
Or whatever.
He can't.
Right.
He can't. So that's what I said to you. What I see here is you're finally the one in control, whether you know realize it or not.
Right.
So,
okay,
you know,
and now as far as his soulmate, which sounds so refreshing because I can't even imagine. Are you talking about, like, in a couple of years? Because I can't even imagine.
No, it's probably... 6 months to a year down the line when things settle down.
Right.
And then you have this soulmate. So your cards are really good. You stay calm. You don't, you know, aggravate. I mean, I'm laughing because could you believe it? When you tell me what the kids, and all of a sudden he's switching the.
Right. He's like freaking out. He doesn't want all the responsibility. I'm like, you take it all. I'm like, I'm walking out. He's like, I don't want it all. You know,
it's all, or we split it in half, or we do something.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah,
but
he doesn't want to do it in half either. I don't even know what he wants. It's just like,
well,
what
the judge
is
going to ask him. He can't have everything, so.
Right.
What is it that
right.
you want?
Right.
Well, anyway, call in again and let us know what happens. Good luck to you. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Thank you so much.
Your
I appreciate
voice.
It.
We love you and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
bye.
It. Okay, bye.
Can you believe for 2 years this idiot's been back and forth with his nonsense and how long this divorce has taken? Unbelievable.
Yes, I can, because my aunt actually went through a divorce, and I kid you not, it lasted probably close to 10 years.
Oh, my God. Oh,
he
my God.
Just fought her on everything.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And, you
so,
know,
I do believe
these people
are
ridiculous.
Like that, but, you know, yep, you just have to kind of be persistent and realize that the fight is going to be worth it when you get your life back.
Right, exactly. And actually, I mean, I was laughing when I saw her cards because it was so different when, you know, there's still a battle here a bit, but it's not the same as it was when I looked at her cards 2 years ago. I mean, that battle looked like endless. This one just looks like, oh, boy, now that you're telling him he could have everything, what's he going to fight now?
Exactly.
So you have to laugh about that. Now, I can see Camille. That's our Camille in California.
Yes, it is Camille in California. And she met a new person about 6 weeks ago, and she wants to know, Cindy, what is up? What can she expect? So let's go hear from Camille in Cali. Hello, Camille. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Camille. So you met somebody, and I'll tell you, the first 6 weeks is always hard to tell. You know, somewhere around the 3 months, the real colors start showing with people. You know, either the prince that becomes the beast is about 3 months. And so far, are you seeing any red flags with him? Because the cards look okay here. Has any red flags been revealed to you yet?
No.
Okay, good. And that's good, because 6 weeks by then, at your age group, 6 weeks you should start seeing something that might not be kosher with somebody.
Right.
So I'm glad it hasn't shown up yet. Do you know about his financial situation, by the way?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Okay, because it looks like there might be some financial problems. Do you know what he does for a living?
Yes, and that's actually how I met him. We were both going to the same coffee house, and he uses that coffee house as his virtual office, and he's actually with another person doing a startup, and they're really getting all sorts of donations and funding, and there's a lot good happening with their project right now.
Okay, but it looks like he's worried about money. So,
okay.
So, you know, keep that a little bit in mind, you know, that, you know, he's got to do this business. He's got some money, you know, issues to resolve here. He's a person who he seems to be very impressed by you, by the way.
Okay.
But I just need you to go in with your eyes wide open a little bit, because there's slight red flags here, nothing major. Like, he's not awful. You know what I mean? He's not a criminal. He's not horrible. But he has some commitment issues in the past. Do you know if he was ever married?
Yes, I do. He has been married before. I do not know when. I do not know for how long, but I do know that he was married and they are divorced.
So he seems to have gotten a little scared after that. So now, look, you could hear the caller before that we picked. You know, who wouldn't be afraid of commitment after hearing that divorce,
yeah,
you know, horror story? So he's a little bit afraid of that. So, you know, are you dating casually or yours is a committed relationship? What are you calling this?
You know, we have not started dating yet. However, we see each other on a regular basis, sometimes daily. We just kind of check in and both do some work at the same place and kind of talk and
okay, but it's not a relationship
go.
Yet in any way?
Not yet.
Okay, good, because that's why I said that's a little bit of a red flag here to me. You know,
okay.
I mean, maybe he's tiptoeing in. He wants to see if you're the princess that becomes the beast. He's laying back for 3 months. I could get that. But around
okay.
the three-month mark, you got to kind of ask him, what are we? And,
okay, yes.
You know what I'm saying? I can understand. It looks like he's afraid of getting hurt. He's, in the past, has not been the best judge of character of people sometimes. So, you know, he's just waiting. You're waiting. So maybe somewhere, you know, that 3 month mark, we expect you to say, are we dating? What are we? Because if it goes too long without a label, that shows a lot of commitment for me. And I don't want you like a year from now saying, well, we've been still kind of seeing each other and we see each other every day, but we don't, because that's why I said he's got, the main thing I'm seeing, he's got some commitment fears.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll work on that. You definitely, you know, brought in alignment with each other. And, you know, he's afraid of getting hurt. You're afraid of getting hurt, too. So I don't blame you for tiptoeing a little bit in there. But I just think that he may, you know, if you go more than 3 months without saying what are we, it's going to get awkward. So,
okay.
Because you're going to start feeling, well, is he seeing other people? Is he, you know. So have you had any of that talk yet?
No. No, we have not. Yeah, we talk about work, and I have a daughter. He sees that. He has a dog. I see that. We talk about what's going on professionally, and we're slowly – he's actually from the same place as where my grandparents are from.
Wow.
So we talk about down home and things like that. But it hasn't become – we haven't said anything that has been crude or crass or, you know, nothing over the top or anything like that. Very respectful, yeah.
Right, and again, that's why I said around the three-month mark, you might want to try to figure out what are we, if anything.
Okay.
Because you don't want to waste
totally.
A year with it sort of the same level, because what I'm seeing here is the potential to keep it like this for a long time unless you're the one who kind of says, what is this? So,
I
you know,
see that, yeah.
So around the three-month mark, you're going to, you know, have you ever asked to see him anywhere besides here? Have you ever brought that up?
Yeah, we have discussed that. We have discussed that. And I would need to figure out a sitter for my child. And also, they came out here to do a project, and it's kind of like he's the kind of person who will work all day writing code on a Sunday. Does not
right.
come up for air. So I said, you need to come up for air and see if there's a whole city around you that
and
you
where
might
is he going
see.
And where is he going after this project, by the way?
They plan to stay here.
Good, good, because that's a good sign. Just, you know, just know that he is very involved in the work. I mean, he needs the money. There's some money issues here.
Okay.
And that you know, I just don't want you to, you know, have sort of a relationship that's not a relationship forever, because people take
totally.
Forever to ask for a date. I mean, you're not asking him to marry you, but, you know, if you've been seeing somebody for a while, you know, every day and there's a connection, it has to be, you know, eventually brought forth to a real date.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not seeing any major red flags with him. He's not a bad person. He's not evil or anything like that. But that doesn't mean they're not afraid of commitment and don't rip our hearts out, too. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so.
My question is, would age be any factor in a relationship? Because he turned 28 in February, and I am turning 39. So
okay. That's not unusual for soulmates to have an age difference, by the way, but that generation, the one that's in their 20s, early 30s, have a lot of commitment issues. It's booty calls, fuck buddies, friends with benefits, hookups.
Yeah.
So it's a generational thing. I mean, your generation isn't all that much better, but that particular one has a lot of issues. So, you know, they don't tend to have relationships. They tend to have these whatever things. So, I don't think he's concerned about your age from in these cards. I think he's drawn to you and, you know, he's attracted to you, and I don't think that's a big factor here.
Okay.
It's a different generation. There is a gap there, but it's not a major thing I'm not seeing here. But again, sometimes age difference can make a relationship have built-in expiration dates depending on the person, you know, the people. But I'm not seeing that it bothers him. Have you ever told him your age?
No. I told him I'm a little bit older than you are, but we are Facebook friends now, and it's
so
right
he,
there.
Does he have
I
your last name? Does he know your last name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
then
yeah.
He could Google
yeah,
and find out how
on.
Old. He must have Googled. He could find out how old you are. We can't hide that.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Village idiot knows
look,
that. So.
Oh, yeah. He can look on Facebook, LinkedIn, all that. And he actually did come to me in a dream a couple weeks ago, urging me to make him wait.
Make him wait for what?
Sexually.
Okay. And,
yeah.
You know, again, we don't want to start communicating with living people so much on the soul plane. That's how we commune with dead people. That lets you know that you're
right.
Telepathic and your soulmate. You want it to be on this plane with the man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So tell me what you want face-to-face here. Don't do it telepathically. So let us know you know,
okay.
I don't think your age is the issue at all. You look beautiful, and, you know, that's not a big deal. So, I mean,
great,
later on
you.
If he gets scared and wants to run, he could play the age card. But that would be playing the game of blemish. It wouldn't have mattered if you were the same age. You would have found some other reason to run. So I'm not seeing it being a big issue.
Okay.
Well,
thank
good
you.
Luck to you, and thank you for sharing your story. We always love to hear from you, and we hope the baby's doing good.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I heard her little baby in the background. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Here's your baby. She's talking. She's so cute. Bye-bye, baby. Oh, my goodness.
Aww.
How sweet. Camille sounds wonderful. I'm glad she's out there, and she's kind of meeting somebody going about her life, but... Nicole, do you know what I'm talking about with eventually you got to move this stuff forward sooner than later?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, because, you know, I don't think I was as adamant about this 5 years ago as I am now, but I've just seen a pattern of, like, a lot of people's hearts broken.
No, there's a definite pattern there. And you know what? And the whole thing is that it all comes down to why commitment phobes are commitment phobes. You know,
right.
You know, they're afraid of getting hurt. They're afraid that somebody's going to leave them. They're afraid that it's not going to work out. But you know what? If you don't risk some of the bad and some of the heartache, you're not going to be letting any of the good in either. So,
right. And that's when I think it's become more astronomical a problem. But I think it's the way that people just kind of don't get involved, you know, in a relationship or even date. There's this thing where, like, men don't think they have to spend any money on women, and you know that I'm a liberated woman. I don't ask people to spend money, but, you know, maybe you want to take me out on a date, and then I'll take you out to dinner. Like, you know, some money has to be spent, some relationship
Listen,
has to kind of...
It doesn't have to go back to the way that it was 100 years ago.
No.
You know,
no.
Where men paid for everything, but you know what? There should at least be some reciprocation someplace.
Well, how did lesbians do this? How does that? So let me tell you, if two lesbians meet and you say it was the same thing, meeting somebody in a Starbucks and communicating, what would two lesbians do?
You know, that all really depends on you know, the girls at hand. You know, you've got girls that
what would
are
you do?
Generally.
What would you do?
I would pay.
Okay, right. You've been saying you would ask to, like, let's go have a dinner, and then the next time the next person could,
Absolutely.
Or something like that. Am
you
I right?
Know, I, mean, I would, no, I would pay. Generally speaking, I would always offer to pay.
you know, with me and Lisa, I mean, obviously we've been together for a long time, but even from the very, very beginning, you know, I would take her out. If I asked her out, then I paid. If she asked me to do something, then she paid. You know, it was whoever initiated, you know, the contact, you know, was how it usually went. You do get certain couples where, you know, where there are certain stereotypes and certain gender roles, and they embrace those gender roles. So, and those would be like the kind of girls that, you know, people would perceive to be a lot more masculine. And it's usually those girls are the ones that, you know, take the upper hand and pay for things. Whereas, you know, the more feminine of the two, or what is considered the more feminine of the two, you know, would, you know, be, you know, kind of just pampered and things like that. So it all really depends on your role. For somebody, you know, for a couple like me and Lisa, where, you know, for the most part, you know, we're created equal, you know, we take turns.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. But it seems like somewhere along the line, you got to kind of make a date.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
You know,
and you know what? Even my friends that are, you know, that are not gay, you know, that are heterosexual, I mean, my friend Sophia is a perfect example. She is a very, very traditional girl. She believes that a guy should ask a girl out. She believes that, you know, he should open doors and pull out chairs, and that he should be the stereotypical man of the relationship, you know, and that's just her belief system. But, you know, if she is truly in love and this and that, you know, she and he is showing and proving himself to be respectful and conscious of the fact that she does have a certain ideal and that she does have certain beliefs, she's got no problem going into her pocket either to reciprocate.
Wow. So that I'm saying, it's something people have to work out. But I mean, some of that, when it used to be courting, you know, I think what we've missing in America is the courting. It doesn't happen anymore, but that's such a fun part about, like, romance, isn't it? When,
yeah,
you know, the person wants to take you somewhere and you get dressed and you look nice and then you want to take them and you kind of experience different things with people. So I think we need a little bit more of that courting. I think it's good. Then you know you're in a romantic relationship. So I think, you know, we got to go a little bit back to where you treated the person that, you know, you're a little bit in awe of the person you wanted to be with, isn't it? Don't you feel that way?
Well,
when
people need to remember that courting is part of romance. Romance is not physical. Romance is not necessarily sex. You know,
right.
Romance is, you know, the way that you touch somebody, the way that you hold somebody's hand, you know, the kind of time that you have when you're out, the atmosphere when you're out, the atmosphere you create when you're out. You know, these are all parts of romance. And I think that especially my generation, because my generation sucks, especially my generation will go out there and they will confuse romance for sex. And that could not be further from the truth.
Right. So we're just trying to go back the little bit where, you know, we make it a little bit special when you meet somebody and you treat them special and you make them feel like they're the greatest things in sliced bread and you're so honored that they're going out with you. I mean, it's nice, you know, I just think we need a little bit of that because so many of the young girls that are in their 20s, they've never even gone on, they've been with a guy for a year. They've never even gone on a date.
I know.
They've never, I mean, I just, really?
Yep.
Well, you're the booty call?
I believe
is that
it.
What you are? I mean, oh, sometimes we'll watch TV together. Okay, that's nice, but don't you sometimes go somewhere together?
Yeah.
You know, even a walk on the beach, something.
It's ridiculous.
You know, it doesn't just spend
money.
You know,
I could honestly say 5 years. Lisa and I were together 5 years in
wow.
April. And you know what? I mean, we still, like, to this day, you know, because we don't get a real chance to talk a lot during the day. Even though we work for the same company, she's in one place, I'm in another. So we really don't talk a lot during the day. But we will text and just check in and see how each other's day is going. And you know what? Every so often, you know, I get like a little note on my text message, excuse me, will you go on a date with me? And I'll, you know, I'll reply yes or no, and, you know, and then she'll be like, okay, you know, we'll meet back at the house. And when it's me that's initiating the date, like, I'll leave the house for like a second and I'll ring our doorbell. I'll just like walk outside and close the door behind me and ring our doorbell like I'm picking her up. You know, I'll usually get flowers or something beforehand and I'll have flowers in my hand, you know, when I do all that. She'll do the same thing with me. And, you know, and we go out on dates and, you know, we pretend like we're like, we just got back together. You know, so it's just, it's, you know, it's nice. And 5 years later, we're still doing the same thing.
Wow, and that's what I said, that little bit of specialness. And if you start the relationship like that on a kind of special note, then that will continue. If you don't start the relationship on special notes, it's very hard to then change the, you know, the contract you have with a person. Now I expect flowers, now I expect dinner, now I expect...
Exactly.
Kind of the way we
start
a relationship is the way it ends. And even saying the I love you words a lot, you know, when you first know someone and you feel that, then it makes it so that all the time in your relationship, those are words that you use. It's something you say a lot to each other. So,
and
that's
just so that for the guys that are listening to the show, flowers are not always the best thing. Some girls don't like flowers. Some girls don't appreciate flowers that much. It can be anything. Find out what she likes. Okay, and that's what you're going to go to. One day, I kid you not, instead of flowers, I brought a motorcycle helmet. You know?
No, that's
make
good.
Sure that it's, you know, but make sure
keep
that,
her head
that
safe.
You know. Exactly, you know, but I chose a motorcycle helmet instead of flowers one day, you know, because obviously, you know, she's got a bike and you know.
And
she,
that's what
you
she
know,
needed.
She likes accessories.
And that's what TJ just gave me, a pretty pink bicycle helmet. Okay, I had a blue one, now I have a pink one. It's like, you know, they're both good, every color. But I'm just laughing because I was complaining that my helmet, like the straps weren't so good anymore. And then he said, well, that's not good, and then got me one because it's important. We have to keep our heads safe. So that's what I'm saying. These are little gifts, little things that, you know, make people feel special. So I think tonight's sort of theme is, are you making the one you love feel special? Are you making the one you want to be with feeling special? Because the greatest invitation to love is to be loving first. And, you know, that's why I said, when people come to me for a reading, and even, you know, Camille just met this guy, and when they come to me for readings, when they've known someone a little while, like, what does he feel? I go, this is not right. You don't go to a psychic to know how somebody feels. You go to them. You ask them. Is you ask them, what are we? You communicate with that person. They're alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, if the person's dead and you want to know stuff, then come to me. But if it's a new relationship, you should kind of be asking the person, what are we? What is this? And if you continue for a year to keep having to go to a psychic to find out what somebody feels, that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. You should know how someone feels about you. That's something that, you know, true love you can't hide. You really can't. Some things you can hide. Love you cannot hide. So, you know, if someone's giving you mixed messages, then we're always in the arena of commitment phobia. And they're amazing commitment phobics with their mixed messages. Just amazing.
Oh, my God, completely.
Well, we do have Michelle. And you tell me a little bit about Michelle.
Well, Michelle is in Long Island. And she actually met you twice. But it was a couple of years ago, maybe about a year ago was the last time. And, you know, basically she just wants to know if she has any messages, you know, from a loved one or anybody else, you know, what her future holds, you know, where her relationship is going or not going. So, you know, Michelle just wants an overall reading, Cindy, just to see what she can be expecting for the rest of this year. So let's just cruise over and talk to Michelle. Hello, Michelle, you're on the air.
How are you?
Hi, Michelle. You've been good?
Yeah, I've been all right.
Because your cards look pretty good. Are you getting any messages yourself from the other side? Because you look like you're getting a little more intuitive here.
I've always kind of had that, you know, dreams, and I always get like little signals, I'll think it's from somebody, but I do get sometimes dreams of specifically one person. I wish I got them from other people, but one usually comes through more than others.
Okay, there's a father figure here. Who is the person you get a lot of messages from?
Well, I have a grandpa that's passed, but I would say probably my ex-boyfriend comes through the most.
That is pretty unfortunate. But your grandfather says he gives you a lot of messages, too, by the way.
Okay, good.
That he tries to, he loved you. Did you love him? He loves you.
He said
Michelle was a good girl. She knew right from wrong. With your boyfriend that passed, he was supposed to kind of prove death ends life, not a relationship. So I'm not surprised you get a lot of messages from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit apologetic. Do you get any of that from him?
Not really.
And he didn't mean to cause so much pain in leaving this earth. I mean, seems to have left a hole in the universe. A lot of people like this guy, by the way.
He was well-liked, but he was he kind of was like a Jekyll and Hyde, but you had to actually know him to realize he was a Jekyll and Hyde. A lot of people, you know, would think he's one way, but then he was really another way. You know, he fooled a lot of people.
Well, because he's a true narcissist. I think that's what he's apologizing about, by the way, that he was a narcissist. You were very good to him, and he has nothing bad to say about you. But, you know, there's another soulmate showing up in these cards. Do you have someone yet?
I do.
Okay. Do you feel
a
soulmate?
Rocky, though.
Would you say it's a little rocky? Okay.
Yeah, it's been rocky. On and off always.
Not
on and off in relationship, just meaning good then bad, then good then bad.
So you got another Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde here?
I guess so.
Okay, now it's funny because I love the way you use that word because, you know, in my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, there's four kinds of people. There's absolute unfixables, and then there's the Dr. Jekylls, Mr. Hydes. They're the hardest to predict because sometimes they're so good and sometimes they're so bad. But your boyfriend from the other side is saying you got to call your new boyfriend on his bullshit sometimes. Do you call him on his bullshit?
Oh, I do. Yeah, okay. I think it falls on deaf ears, so that's where I'm at right now.
Okay, ma'am. Did you learn from your dead soulmate that you can't fix people?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what we don't learn from one soulmate, sometimes God brings another one that's still not very fixable.
Okay.
The guy you're with now, I'm not saying you didn't start out as a soulmate. Do you remember when you first met him feeling a heart connection with him?
I had my doubts about him when I first met him.
Did you feel a soul connection with him at all?
After the first date or two.
How about a mind connection? In the beginning, did you communicate?
I tried to communicate.
How about with your bodies? Do you have a chemistry together?
Yeah, we always had chemistry.
Okay. It looks like you're a little low in the communication department
here. Yeah, he's bad at that.
Okay, and sometimes we just have to learn, you know, we're not going to fix people. I mean, people who are better communicators on Earth are sometimes better communicators from the other side, by the way. You know, if you weren't a great communicator on Earth, sometimes you're just not that great from the other side either. Your boyfriend that's crossed over is a little bit different. He's a much better communicator on the other side, I think, than he was on Earth. He's trying to, you know, let you know he loved you. But this new guy seems to have a lot of the same traits as your other one.
Mm-hmm.
And love shouldn't be like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I mean, it should be,
yeah.
You know, it should be mostly good. Yeah, we have our period, we're a bitch, and we had a bad second moment, whatever, but not... Now we have a bad month, now we have a good month, now we have a bad month.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking you a little bit for granted, too, by the way. And that's kind of what we were talking about with the last, you know, Nicole and I were talking about. I mean, I think he, you know, thinks you're going to be there no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But how long have you been with him?
4.5 years.
Okay, because you know the relationships work in 5-year cycles. Now you've got 6 months. God's going to say fix it or leave it, so you're going to be pretty heavy-duty guided in the next few months as to why maybe you can't fix this, why you need to leave it. I don't think you're going to be able to fix him, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not very – he's not the worst man in the deck. Again, he's not a horrible guy. He's not horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks as if, you know, he's happy. He's happier with the way things are than you are. I don't think he thinks this is so much bad as you think there is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a nice
yeah.
person. You know, you're a good person. I think, you know, he has no intention of leaving you. I'm not so sure you'll be around 6 months from now with this guy.
Yeah.
Are you starting to feel that?
Yeah. And I've been pretty vocal about it, like about what I need and what I deserve and how I feel like I'm not a priority. And But he just ignores it because he doesn't like to communicate and he doesn't want to, quote, argue or have a fight. And I'm like, well, you can't just sweep it under the rug, but that's what he likes to do. And then it just, you know, builds and builds and builds. And he'll pretend like, you know, nothing happened. And we'll just be like the next day, like, oh, I love you, hey, babe. And then I'm like, cold shoulder, like, you totally just ignored everything I said and we have issues. So
that's a long-term behavior that he learned with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And what he learned with, you know, is that, you know, you just be quiet, you just ignore the pink elephant in the room and you don't talk about it. That's why I said he doesn't really going to leave you over issues because he denies there's any issues.
Yeah.
I mean, in the, compared to, like, some of the nightmare he saw when he was growing up with his parents, do you know them at all?
Yeah.
These people. You know, he thinks if you shut up, that means everything's good. Now, that means we have a cold war going on here. It's
mm-hmm.
not an outright war. You're not screaming. You're not fighting. You know, he wants to be a people pleaser, but he doesn't do much to people please. He just yeses everybody to death and ignores.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like you're going to get fed up pretty soon because he's not going to change. I mean,
Sorry.
He's going to be upset when you break up with him because he loves you. He's
oh, he'll act like he's not upset, but then that's
not the truth. He's going to be really, really upset. I mean, you're being told now that maybe you need to take 2 feet out of this relationship and see what he does if you do that. Maybe
mm-hmm.
he'll miss you. Maybe he'll come back and realize he doesn't want to take you for granted. But 5 years is still a new relationship. As you heard, Nicole has a 5-year relationship, and that's what I have
mm-hmm.
with my husband. She'd still be on your honeymoon.
It's
a new relationship. Shouldn't be, you know, taking each other for granted. If you want to know were you broken up with your boyfriend when he died?
Yes.
Okay, because he's saying the ex. He's calling himself the ex.
Yeah.
Because if you want to know what your ex has to say, you're not fixing him.
Okay.
And he's kind of fun. He's very funny, your ex. I mean, he must have been very charismatic, and when he was good,
he was
always so good, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's charming in his own way. I think a lot of people did like him because of that. But he lied a lot. Do you know that about him?
Yeah. I found out after the fact, after he passed. I was shocked, by the way, that it happened. And I found out a lot of demons after the fact, after we broke up, that, you know, he kind of went down a bad path. So.
Right. So that's what he was a pretty good liar and manipulator. The guy you're with now isn't a liar and a manipulator. That's not what he is. He's just, you know, he manipulates by talking. He manipulates by pretending there's nothing wrong and by denial.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't outright lie. He just doesn't want truth to be told. It's a little bit different, but he's afraid of truth. I mean, this is something, you said you know his parents. Do you see how they don't talk about things that matter? Have you seen that in the household? You see, like, there's all kinds of stuff, you know, under the carpets and pink elephants in the room everybody's ignoring.
Yeah.
I mean, he has, from what I could see in these cards, he has massive anxiety when you start talking truth.
Yeah,
something
he gets angry.
And angry then is a way of manipulating because he bullies you to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in the mood for a fight, you're just trying to point out some facts, and this is some things we need to address. And if he starts getting angry, then if you're not in the mood for a fight, you'll just shut down. But also, stuffing things down ends up making good people look like lunatics, because after, you know, you've been shutting up for 6 months, you have a bad day, and suddenly you blow up, you look like you're nuts. I mean, that happens to good people.
Okay.
But just know that he is manipulating the situations by bullying you or not answering questions you want to talk to, ignoring it, acting like nothing
mm-hmm.
happened. That's a form of manipulation.
Okay.
You know, it's a better version when people outright lie, but it's still manipulating. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, like, since you said that, you could probably tell I'm getting a little fed up if things do end. Like, do you see, like, a soulmate for me, or is it, I know the guy pool out there is not that great. I feel like I'm an old soul, so it's hard to find. Like,
yes, you're an old soul. You know right from wrong. Yes, we have more than one soulmate. Great. I mean, the second card I just pulled was a soulmate. A man who's very generous with his spirit and with his money. What I'm seeing is if you stay with this guy to end it, you have to hate somebody to leave him. This can get really ugly. So I would advise you not to, you know, just say this isn't working. Don't try to hate him. Don't make drama. He may hate you.
Yeah.
But you need to really close this so the universe could bring you someone else. How old are you, Michelle?
35.
Okay. Do you want a family and all of that?
I definitely want marriage. I feel like now that I'm a little older, family is not as important anymore, just because I have nieces and nephews, and I feel like they're my kids as it is. I mean, it'd be nice to have a child, but it's not something that's necessary. But I definitely do want a husband, and
okay,
I want that life.
Well, even though you're not so worried about your biological clock ticking, the longer we stay with a person who's not right, and 5 years is usually when God says fix it or leave it.
Yeah.
If you stay another 5 years, then the soulmate who's circling near here that you could meet in the next year or so would probably already be gone. You know, he's going to be
okay.
waiting around. So if I were you, I mean, does this guy drink, the one you're with?
He goes out a lot with his coworkers.
He drinks more than you know, according, you know, your ex is saying, I'm not trying to be a tattletale. He's very funny. He's very funny. Because I'm,
yeah. I mean,
I'm not trying
always,
to tattletale.
That's always what I think. I mean, he works late a lot, and I know his coworkers are very social, I guess you could say. So I always have, you know, my thoughts in my head, like, are you really working late or are you really out at the bar? But it's not even worth saying anymore.
He is drinking a lot. He's not always working late. So what he's doing is putting, you know, he's a typical guy of your generation and the one below you who doesn't want to grow up. They want to party. They want to drink. They want to get drunk with their friends. And they put their sort of friends above their soulmate. Like, soulmates are supposed to come first. Not that friends aren't
really
important.
Horrible.
But soulmates are the number one priority. So he's not making you his top priority. And he likes
to
drink.
That's exactly what I'm realizing.
And he likes to drink more than you know. So that means that, you know, he's not showing you that side of him where he's drinking a lot. But what you see is the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, that you might see him the next day after he's a little bit hungover and not feeling great. So he's drinking a lot more than you know.
Okay.
So that's just something to kind of keep in mind.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not loving the cards on him. He's not the worst guy, but why would you, you know, you don't seem to be massively in love with him at this point either. So it's not like you're taking a lot of crap in the name of love. It's kind of like, well, he's the devil I know, and, you know, the men are so bad out there, I should stay with this devil. But there's a nice soulmate here, one that's much more committed and will treat you like, with, you know, special. Don't you want to be treated special?
Yep. That's good to know.
I mean, that's been our whole theme for tonight, is that people are just not treating each other with any kind of specialty. And it's funny because your generation are spendaholics and they'll buy themselves everything. So they don't even need anybody to buy them a gift, but they don't want to buy for anybody else. It's gotten to be ridiculous. Like, you know, try to be a little bit, get with someone who wants to give a little bit more. This guy's not a giver.
No.
Have you seen that? He doesn't give.
Yeah, I am the giver, definitely, especially the last few years.
And people who can't communicate show unhealed issues. You know, you got to be able to communicate, got to be able to talk. And the sad part about it is a lot of times people can live with people like that their whole life and they don't really know them.
Yeah.
But, you know, he doesn't communicate much. His parents are still married, by the way?
Yes.
Because they shouldn't probably stayed married. That's not a great marriage. And
yeah, there was a little separation for a little bit, and then they got back together.
Okay, so kind of what he's seen is, you know, till death do us part, and, you know, we can fight, and we can come back, but we don't heal issues. His parents never really healed the issues when they came back.
Mm-hmm.
They just sort of swept them under the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's his modus operandi. That's what he's learned. And denial is a wonderful mechanism. I mean, you know, you just have to deal with anything. But I will tell you, denial is one of the worst mechanisms humans can actually use, because you got to deal with life. You got to deal with issues. You got to communicate. So, now, if you were my lover and you're telling me I need this, this, and that, and if, you know, he doesn't want you to leave him, and that's the truth. if I were him, I would be saying, well, of course, Michelle, I'll treat you special. Of course, I'll take you here. I'll do something. I would want you to stay with me. I would hear what you're saying. If he's not hearing, it shows a level of narcissism and sort of, you know, taking you for granted.
Yeah.
But you're not asking him to drill his teeth without anesthesia. You're asking him to be there more for you, to make, you know.
Yeah.
And what is your sex life like with him now? Did you have a chemistry in the beginning, you said?
Yeah, it was very good. Now, as of late, just because the last couple months, I've been kind of fed up with stuff, obviously, that's sizzling. And then, you know, once it gets good again, like, then obviously that gets good again. But right now, since it's been a rough couple months, it's just basically just dealing with it right now.
Well, what I see is that you're almost trying to let this, you know, it's sort of, you know, on life support, your relationship, and you're just sort of afraid to pull the plug here.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships can be fixed 2 feet completely in, which you don't have. You have 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Mm-hmm.
Either put 2 feet back in for the next 3 months and see if you can be the best you, and you could kind of gently tell him what you want and see what that does. If that doesn't work, take 2 feet out and see what that does. Maybe he'd just have to miss you a bit.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
He doesn't look very fixable to me, but, you know, if you don't want to just pull the plug, then try 2 feet in or 2 feet out. But, you know, you're going to have to do something sooner than later.
Okay. Yeah, I was just, you know, expecting a miracle that he would finally wake up and realize, but
I said the miracle can be sometimes if you take 2 feet out. And
yeah.
No texting, no talking, no booty calls. Maybe he'd go to some therapy. He needs some therapy.
Oh,
maybe
he refuses to do that, yeah.
Okay, then what I have to tell people who have unhealed issues and can't communicate, if they refuse to go to therapy or read books, self-help books, do any kind of inner searching, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to a therapist, but you might want to pick up some self-help books and see if you can teach yourself. If a person doesn't want to do anything to change themselves or better themselves, there's no hope, you know, because they have to decide they need therapy. And again, you know, call in and let us know what you decide to do, by the way.
I will. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, good, because, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Again, there is another soulmate in the future, but this one, you know, you've got to sort of end this and see what happens and have courage. You know, you had a lot of courage when you were little. Your grandpa said you have a lot of courage. Where's your courage?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, good luck to you. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay, Nicole. So we have a few minutes left. So, you know, we have sort of had this theme of people needing to be treated special. You know, and I love the way you told what you and Lisa do with each other to keep making each other feel really special. And it's kept it alive and exciting, and you don't take her for granted, correct?
Absolutely not.
And that's, I just see so many people just seem to take everybody for granted. They're workers, even like in business, they have good workers, they take them for granted. You know, we can't take people for granted. You know, it's one of the worst things you could probably do. And, you know, I try not to do that with anyone, you know, like thank them, being gratitude for what they do, you know. Anytime someone does something to help me or TJ does something, I always make sure I thank him. Do you thank Lisa when she helps you and does stuff?
Well, you know what? Blog Talk Radio just intercepted me. What did you just say, Cindy? The last
section? Do you thank Lisa when she helps you or she does something?
Oh,
do you
absolutely.
Make sure you good.
Absolutely. You know, I always thank her. She thanks me in return. So it's not like it's only one way. You know, and, you know, it's constantly a question of, you know, both Lisa and I had troubling relationships in the past, you know. She had some doozies, as did I. And, you know, and basically what it all came down to was when we decided that we were going to give our relationship, a chance, we were more or less kind of like, okay, you know, what were the mistakes that we made with previous people? Let's not do that again. You know, and, you know, every single day we keep it new. I can't even tell you how often we forget our anniversary. And it's hysterical because we always forget when exactly, you know, the day is. I mean, we both know the day, but we always forget to celebrate it. And, you know, we always say to each other year over year that, you know, every day we treat each other special. Every day we treat each other with respect. Every day is a good day. Why do we have to single out just one day?
Exactly. And again, you know, for some people, an anniversary is a marker of they feel like they another year's passed and they still can't stand this person or nothing's ever changed. So in bad relationships, it's more a marker. You got to buy a card for somebody. You want to say, boy, I can't stand you, but it's our anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes anniversaries are good markers of, hey, another year's passed and nothing's changed. So
we haven't killed each other.
If everything's good, it probably is something more that you're not even going to think about as much. You know, it's hard to buy a gift for somebody.
Everybody just really needs to remember that sometimes there is ignorance out there, and sometimes there are literally people that just don't know any better. But that you teach people every day, okay? You literally, you know, you show people how to treat you by what you will allow. Okay, so if you allow yourself to be degraded, if you allow yourself to be expendable, if you allow yourself to be treated like a consolation prize, that is what you are teaching your prospective boyfriend or girlfriend to do, because you're not saying it's not acceptable.
Right, exactly. Well, thank you for today, Nicole. I think we had some interesting people,
Cindy.
As always. And
we'll
be speaking next week, and I hope we get a little warm weather in the next few days.
Oh, I'm hoping so, Cindy. But in the meantime, you take care of yourself. Go cuddle up next to that love of your life over there, and
thank you so much.
My best.
Thank you so much, and a hug to Lisa. Good night, everybody, and thanks for joining our show.
Bye-bye.